T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rod Bradford, Evan Drellick, and Chris Vellani on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, once again, we fail to get the entire band together. Once again, Rob Bradford fails to get his headphones together.
Oh, this thing's a mess. Anyway,
you know the cord's all wrapped around the side there. hold on a second. I don't usually do the mid-show pictures, but that's one that's picture-worthy because I don't know what the hell's going on there.
I don't know, but I'm just happy to be here.
I'm supposed to be the one that was at an open bar all last night, not
open
you.
Open bar wedding. You're playing the role of Evan Drellick, Chris Vellani.
That's right. Big congratulations to Amanda Roosevelt and Sam Brewer, by the way.
I mean,
on their nuptials.
Don't spoil the media stars, all right?
Sam does work for WGBH.
Exactly. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
It could work.
I mean, if it was a pay bar, a cash bar?
Yeah, no media star for that.
No,
are you kidding?
Star. No.
No, not a chance.
Good for you. Good for you for bouncing back.
Yeah.
And coming in here.
Ready to go.
You look spry.
It's usually what you say to somebody who's 75 years old.
You look limber. What do you want me to say?
I look good for a 72-year-old man.
You look pliable.
Always pliable. Okay. Always pliable. All right. No question about that. I'm going to get you some new headphones, I think, by the way.
Because, look at this. Ryan Garvin's coming in.
Headphones are
I can fix them, Ryan. I can fix them. Just give me time. I'm okay. I'm all right. Don't worry about it.
I love how angry Ryan gets at you.
I'm responsible for the headphones. No, they don't work. Those don't work. So anyway, go ahead.
Anyway.
Just continue.
You know who's
we have a lot of momentum. Continue.
You know who's not getting a media star? How's that for a transition?
Yeah.
Kevin Cullen of the Boston Globe.
I know, Rob,
you wrote about this on WEEI.com late last night. It was good to see how you were spending your Saturday night based on what time that thing was posted.
No, here's a little behind the scenes. I'll take you behind the scenes. Is that so I'm sitting around and I'm looking at tweets. And everyone's tweeting about a lot.
A good way to spend a Saturday night.
Well, let's be honest. This is how we spend every waking moment of our lives, is looking at tweets. And so I'm looking at tweets a lot from our station and talking about this. And, you know, obviously, in case they don't know, what are you doing? I can't hear my. There you go.
All right. They're switching headphones now. It's a radio professional, folks.
All right. That doesn't make a difference. I'm not getting any.
Yeah, brought somebody in here, by the way, shadowing to see how this is supposed to be done. We're not setting a glorious example so far.
Anyway, so I'm looking at tweets. The story came out Friday from the Boston Globe explaining that they are suspending Kevin Cullen for 3 months unpaid after being suspended while getting paid. And they would go in to explain it, and we can pick through it. That's fine. I did the other night on Friday night. But I'm just thinking, it really bothers me because one of the reactions that came off of it was the reaction we get a lot of times at sports radio, which is, oh, well, you guys did this, so what? You guys did this, so what? I'm like, what Kirk did, you know, he's wrong about a lot of things like my talent. Like, he's wrong about how talented I am.
It's debatable.
But one of the things is what he did was so, so important. And I even had this argument with my sports writers friends for the exact same reason. Oh, you know, Minahan's a jerk or whatever. Or it's just bluster. It's sports radio. Well, let's separate it. Because what he did was really, really important, which was because we know that if he doesn't do that, Kevin Cullen's still working. That all the things that the Globe found in this two-pronged investigation, we never find. And the heart of what I wrote today was really that – everyone thinks that sports radio is that you report something and you have this sort of, oh, well, fail safe, like the Portnoy thing, the Gronk.
Right.
At least he was out there, right? He said, I'm reporting that Gronk might be traded. If I'm right, give me credit. If I'm wrong.
Yeah, he was doing it tongue in cheek. Yeah.
He has that right. He's earned that right because that's what Barstool is. It is the oh well mentality. And let's be honest, Chris, sports radio is the oh well mentality when it comes to this stuff. The Globe is pretending like they don't have that oh well mentality. And everything about this, thanks to Kirk's reporting, everything about this continues to be oh well, whether it's the actual what Kevin Cullen was doing, which was, well, what's the big deal? I'm poop-faced and making stuff up on the radio, but oh well, it was on the radio.
Yeah.
And or this actual this punishment and this explanation from the Globe, which was a 3-month suspension without pay, and he'll go on and he'll keep writing. And oh well, we have to get past this.
He also has to come back and work as a general assignment reporter, which, by the way, that's where all your real journalists are.
The general assignment reporters. I can't wait for him to cover the Methuen field hockey game in September.
What's he going to come back and go to like a house fire somewhere and write about that? I just don't see, and I'm not one that calls for people to lose their jobs left and right. And I didn't read him before. I've talked about this with you in the past. I know the declining influence of the sports columnist. And I think this goes sort of hand in hand with what you're talking about, where radio can do more than just entertain. And it can do more than just offer opinions and bombast and sort of drive conversation. It can also do journalism, as it did in this particular instance with Minahan and also with Chris Curtis, by the way, who deserves some credit.
Let's be clear that that's still the priority in sports radio.
Sure.
But you can do more than one thing. Absolutely. And that's the lesson that we should learn here, which is that, oh, hey, Boston Globe, it's not just you. Okay, Kirk can do this. Curtis can do this. Chris, you can do this. Everyone can do this if they put in the work and approach it the right way. I said this the other night. When Kirk was digging in on this, we have to run stuff on the website. The company is beholden to making sure there's nothing libelous or anything else. I had no doubt that Kirk was doing the right steps. I had no doubt because I know how he gets when he digs into this stuff. I have no doubt. With the Globe, I have doubt about everything. And so, to your point, number one priority for sports radio remains be entertaining, be engaging, all that. And there still is that, well, we'll throw some stuff out there. Oh, well,
yeah, whatever. And see what sticks.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, let's be in Boston and all of our New England affiliates.
Let's be honest.
We love you.
Yes. Let's be honest, Chris. I mean, right? That still is sports radio.
Yeah.
And I, as I put in my piece, I have to explain that to players a lot where they said, hey, what are they talking about? They're so wrong. I'm like, well, that's not their – the program director is never going to come down and say, you got that ERA wrong, by the way.
In fairness, this is somewhat tangential, but aren't you the guy that was excoriating Tony Maserati because everything he says is wrong and I'm right because I'm in Baltimore?
But I'm saying – and here's my point, which is if you have the option of, number one, being entertaining and engaging – and being right.
And in Baltimore. Right.
And having things. Instead of just defaulting to, oh, well, I'm going to throw this out and say something about it, which is, again, some people have the talent to do that on sports radio with nothing to back it up.
I'm a genius.
Yeah, I'm a genius. That's basically where I'm getting to. But so I think that we're on the same train, Chris, that this is an example that sports radio, and not only sports radio, blogs and everywhere else can do the right thing, can have journalism, can be hold these people accountable. Whereas the Globe, the one place where you think is going to be the standard bearer when it comes to this, has failed miserably and continues to with this story on Friday.
And they certainly do have that. I can't even tell you how many times. I'm sure you saw it too when you were at the Herald. But how many times we were at the Herald and we'd break a story and then some days, weeks, in some cases months. I remember there was a story about, I won't get into the details of it, but involving sex offenders that Bob McGovern and I broke months ahead of when the Globe did. And when the Globe finally wrote the story, it was as if our story never happened, as if it never was. And we beat them by so much, actually, the editor at the Herald forgot that we had done it and was mad that we didn't have it when the Globe came out. It was like, no, we did it back in December, dude. We ate their lunch on this. But it's like it never was. Because that's how it is, it's that high and mighty perch. We're right. Everybody else is sort of nipping at our heels, and they are still the big game in town, at least for now. We'll see how long that lasts with any newspaper. My thing is with Cullen in particular, I can't read anything he writes ever again and take it seriously. And at the very least, anytime he cites somebody, no Smitty, Fitzy, Pauly, none of that.
No.
It better be full Christian name on every single citation and henceforth.
And also, I want to, in the story, I want to know what he's blowing on the sobriety test. Right? I mean, this is one of the biggest things that came out of when I'm looking at that story the other day. You have in fairly high in the story this quote saying everyone we talked to, you know, say that you applauded Kevin Cullen for being this guy who did his research and did his homework and everything else. And then 11 paragraphs later, you have the quote of what Cullen told them, which was, you know, he's blaming this radio interview because he'd been drinking all night.
Was not taking care of myself, was not eating right, was drinking too much.
This goes back to another problem I have, and I think that, you know, maybe people won't agree with this, but I don't care if it's a radio interview. There's a reason why he's on the radio, and that is because he's representing the biggest paper, and he's the most important voice at that paper for this most important subject, which was the Boston Marathon bombings. And you blatantly made it up, and you blatantly made this stuff up because you were either not sober or hungover or whatever. I mean, that's a fact. So, and the other part about you talk the high and mighty, the Globe stuff, and I want to make this clear. The Globe does a lot of good.
Sure.
And you know, they do good and bad. We do good and bad. I'm not just saying that the Globe, everybody at the Globe is terrible and they're taking the wrong tack. In this case, if we're talking about this case, then there is major, major problems that gets under my skin. And when you talk about the high and mighty part of it, well, how about the news dump on Friday? I mean, as I put in the story.
Was that a news dump on Friday? I thought that was just the timing. Oh, we had to work out.
I mean,
this
isn't 2001 anymore. Like this, are you kidding me?
But it's so, people don't even care anymore about how transparent, how obvious that is. It's just 5 o'clock
I know,
on Friday.
But they think people do.
If we could find a holiday weekend, that would be great. I'm shocked this didn't come out the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. I guess they just didn't have it ready to go at that point, or that they didn't wait until 4th of July week, which is also a great time to dump it. Tuesday, 4th of July is on a Wednesday this this year. So Tuesday evening, July 3rd. That would have been a great time.
It was a soft dump.
Because people are... No, it was a hard dump, Big O. So they you know, put it out at that point. A lot of people are gone for the week or leave, you know, to take Thursday, Friday off after that, and they're gone. That would have been a perfect time to do it. I'm shocked they didn't. How transparently obvious it is that, we're just going to bury this here. Nobody will notice, right?
But to have the gumption to do it, when, like you said, everyone knows, like, what they're doing. I mean, this is... maybe back in 2001 that people are like, oh, wait, I didn't put this together. Oh, what a good time to drop a story. Oh, we haven't talked about this for 3 days. What a genius move by them.
What did they think, that Kirk and Jerry were going to forget by Monday morning?
No,
but Kirk's going to say, you know, we got to start with a recap of this Red Sox series. What were they doing against Wade LeBlanc on Saturday night? 617-779-7937.
My point exactly. So when they're doing that, it's the risk reward. Your reward is what? Because the reward isn't them forgetting about it on Monday.
No, it's one more thing to pile on.
Right. Exactly. It's another example of how misguided you are when it comes to the delivery and the investigation and everything that goes with this. Like, I put this in the story and I mentioned the other night. I mean, full disclosure, we had an apology blog from Alex Reamer earlier this year, and you know, these sort of things like this one had to be vetted through people.
That one was actually, as I understand it, that blog was written like weeks before.
Well, it was.
And then it was picked apart and there were drafts,
right,
and intonations.
So you know how this works.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the same thing with this. I mean, it has to be vetted through people. And so the intention was Friday morning, because I said we cannot do this Friday late afternoon, early evening, because for that exact reason. But it gets caught up in things and it gets tied up. And when it would finally get the go ahead, it was 5 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I am owning that. I understand. We have to own that.
Was there a thought to you to say, let's wait until Monday?
No.
Why not?
Be- because we had waited so long, and you're right. I mean,
then what's two more days?
Yeah, maybe it's a good point, but still, it was sort of like, I'm like, okay.
Let's get it over with.
Let's just get this over with. And I'll take the slings and arrows, and because it's risk-reward. I know that the risk in that case, along with whatever criticism you're going to get from whatever people, you're just added another thing. And that's exactly what the Globe did here. It's just, the whole thing is just baffling. But I'll come back to my original point, which was, Chris, you're a journalist. You do a fine job.
Thank you.
But you can admit, like in journalism, in the world that we're living in right now, the acceptance of this oh well mentality, oh well, we got it wrong, oh well, we got it wrong, we're just moving on, is prevalent all over the place. It's just some places like Barstool, they're like, okay, this is what it is. And really sports radio, this is what it is. And the Globe are saying, we would never ever be that way.
It's not just the perspective, though, of the media outlet. It's also the perspective of the consumer. If you go to Dave Portnoy and Barstool, you're going for entertainment. You're going for something that's going to be funny, edgy, make you laugh, take you away from it.
Lie.
You don't go in, and it's the same thing for Kirk and Callahan. You go in expecting entertainment. You want to laugh. You want to have fun. Mm-hmm. You don't go in expecting Woodward and Bernstein. Now, that doesn't mean they can't work their way into that mold once in a while, as that happened in this particular instance with Kirk and, again, Chris Curtis, who deserves a lot of credit for this too. So it can happen. When you go to the Globe, when you go to the Herald, when you go to a reputable news outlet, I know a lot of people want to put that word reputable in air quotes, you're expecting a different level of scrutiny for what gets published. You're expecting a different level of fact-checking, of having all the facts in a row, of having citations for what you are, who said this, where did you get this information, how do you know this? You're expecting that as a consumer. Now, there are some that I think conflate the two, and they expect every single thing we say on the radio to be 100% God's honest truth, and that's fine. But I think, by and large, the consumers understand, too, that when you go to, whether it's the Globe, the Herald, the Times, the Post, the Wall Street Journal, whatever you read, Fox News, CNN, you're expecting different levels, depending on what it is, of scrutiny, of fact-checking, of having all your ducks in a row before you actually go and put something on the air or put something in print.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't happen, that's when somebody needs to come in as a sort of check, because people aren't going to be able to do it themselves in the same way.
And conversely, when that check does come from, and a well-done check comes from a person on sports radio, then we have to brace ourselves for a lot of the reaction is, oh, well, it's sports radio. Oh, well, they didn't do the due diligence that the Globe would have done, or the Herald would have done, or a print journalist would do. That's our lot in life, right, Chris? I mean, that is just how it is. Sports radio is going to, as much as we can hang our hats on its entertainment, and then once in a while we'll actually break something.
It's a good hat peg.
Yeah, it's a good hat peg, yeah. Right? And it's an easy one. But we also have to lay in the bed of, you know what? When we do it the right way, in this case, we're going to be open to criticism or scrutiny. That, hey, you know what? There's going to be some doubt. Did we do it the right way? Because there's a lot of things that we throw out there, and I'm talking about sports radio across the board, where it's entertaining, it's engaging, blah blah blah. But if we're right, we're right. If not, but in this case, like I said before, there was no doubt that Kirk was doing this the right way. Doing this how the Globe should have done it, how Kevin Cullen should have done it, the Kevin Cullen that went to journalism school, all these other places that preach this, that this is how you do journalism. Think about it, Chris. Think about these kids who are in journalism school who want to be journalists.
I am all about the kids.
You are. I know. Yes. You have someone shadowing you.
Correct.
Today,
yes.
Right? I mean, you are the molder of young minds.
It's a scary thought for the next generation, but yes, let's go with it.
This should be, and you can like Kirk or you don't have to like Kirk. You can say he's right about this or wrong about this. But when you take this in a vacuum, if you take this moment, this instance, you should take this to journalism classes and journalism students and say, this is how you do it, and this is why what you want to do is so important.
By the way, and I mentioned this tweet to you off the air, and I don't know if a lot of people saw it, but this is mind-boggling to me. And it comes from Adam Riley of WGBH, who works with Beat the Press and some of those other shows over there. He's a good reporter. And he said, we asked the Globe two times. This is on Friday.
We asked the Globe two times about the Cullen investigation before tonight's Beat the Press. They responded nonsensically by pointing us to court documents involving Hillary Sargent. Should that have been a clue something was brewing, given the Globe's aversion to questions from the outside? Hard to say. I mean, that is, again, if you're answering in that way, you're taking people for fools. You're thinking they're stupid. If, like, I asked you a question about the Celtics and you give me an answer about lollipops.
Right.
I mean, what's even happening here? So, hey, guys, just want to check in. What's up with the Cullen investigation? Is there anything going to be out tonight? Well, as you can see here in this Hillary Sargent court filing. Wait, what? What now? That's nothing. Let's try this again. Again, pointed to. And good for Adam for saying nonsense. It was nonsense.
Right.
Complete nonsense. Here's something complete. Look over here. Look over here.
But didn't what,
don't look here.
Didn't that the entire story, the entire explanation, and I think we were talking about this. Who's the guy who wrote that? Michael Levinson?
For the Globe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Don't you know? In some, I don't know. I mean, I'm not ready to shoot the messenger there.
It's a reporter.
Yeah. And I don't think that was constructed the right way. Like I pointed out before, when you have the drunk part way down in the story and the praising part way up in the story.
I wonder how heavy the edit was.
That's my issue. And that's why I'm not ready to say, how dare you, Michael, do that. But it is unbelievable. That story, what you're talking about, like, it just keeps going with these guys. And that's the latest example of it. The Adam Riley tweet and what he's saying, like, how can you not see this? How can you not see the terrible, terrible look? And you know what? I know the answer to this because what you said before, because the Globe has done this forever. Like, I know that covering sports, like, they've had people cover sports and we're sitting there and you're scratching and clawing for good stories and stories that are going to stand out, and they do what's right in front of them. And like, well, that's okay because it's not written until we write it. I mean, that is the reality and has been the reality for the Boston Globe for a long, long time.
Seaport gondola story. Wrote that thing way over a year ago, and now I see it on the Globe every other day.
Is it going to be a gondola?
That's what they say.
Really?
Yeah, probably not.
Wow.
I think that'd be fun.
Oh, my goodness. What a great idea.
By the way, it's because in case you're misconstruing, it's like through the air, like that kind of a gondola. Well,
how else would it be? Under the water?
Well, I thought you might be picturing like in Venice where you're paddling down the road and a guy's singing to you as you like go down Seaport Boulevard.
Don't be a wise guy about it, you know.
All right, 617.
Happy Father's Day,
yes, to Rick Villani, who's spending Father's Day where he wants to, which is at the Cape on the golf course.
You didn't want to bring him in to shadow?
No. His shadowing days are long over.
I should have brought Bill Bradford in to shadow us today. I should have brought him in for the entire four hours.
What's he doing?
He's just hanging out. He listens to the radio.
I'm sure he's got takes on the Cullen thing.
Goes down to Dunkin' Donuts in Essex, whips out a copy of Deep Drive, the Mike Lowell book. And, oh, this book right here. Oh, my son. Oh, he wrote it. Yeah, okay. I had no idea I was reading this.
Like, yes. Sir, I actually didn't say anything to you. I'm not sure why you're addressing me right now.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
617-779-7937. We got to pick through these. There's actually two separate reports or investigations that were done by the Globe. So we'll pick into that a little bit. Get some of your phone calls and text messages as well at 37937. Villani and Bradfo with you on a Sunday morning at Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Bradford, Drellick, and Villani on Sports Radio WEEI.
We don't know when the actual report will drop. Today, I believe, is the end of the third week, but it took a little bit of time to get going for various reasons. I don't think it's really been in full swing until the last 2 weeks. We don't know. It could be as early as next week, but we have no certainty about that. So that's all the information we have
on it
for now. It's going to come, and, you know, BU graduation is this week, and Communications Dean Tom Fiedler is one of the people investigating, so I would guess before Memorial Day. That would be my best guess.
I didn't realize at the time what an impact BU graduation had on me.
I mean, come on.
But yes, Tom Fiedler was one of the...
That's great.
Along with Kathleen Carroll.
Well, so there was two, as they point out in that piece, there were two investigations. There was one with Fiedler and what was it, Carroll?
Kathleen Carroll.
Carroll, and they were sort of perceived as the outsiders. And they really dug into like the radio, what he said, Kevin Cullen said on the radio.
They did, and we'll get into it more, but they did a much better job than the other one.
Well, the other one was a joke. And the other one, so the second investigation was done by exclusively people affiliated with the Boston Globe. And they found some misspellings and they found some names that maybe weren't right. And but by the way, the across the board, people were praising Kevin Cullen. It was really an embarrassment. And I think that, you know, Kirk and Callahan, obviously, I do not think they will talk about Wade LeBlanc tomorrow. I'm not positive.
That'll be hour one. Hour two is going to be possible Kawhi Leonard destinations.
Maybe. But if they do ultimately spin into this.
Hour three, Patriots secondary evaluation, buying or selling. 617-779-7937.
Mount Rushmore.
You got to save that for 9 o'clock. That's the money hour.
Okay. They're playing with vim and vigor.
They're going to do a Mount Rushmore of Bruins defensemen not named Bobby Orr.
Nice.
That's going to be exciting.
Oh,
must
or
listen
how about
radio.
40-year-old athletes in Boston.
Ooh. Sporty R. McKenzie here, and I love you.
There you go. but I would imagine if they do stumble upon this story, they will pick it apart, and they will say, there's more. And you're right. I mean, the two investigations – The one, which was the Globe and the Globe affiliated people, really, it was sort of embarrassing. Oh, we really didn't.
Two and a half pages.
We didn't find anything of note. They said, just a few misspellings and things like
that.
Well,
they took a sports radio approach. They took an OL approach to investigating the accuracy of their own journalism. Like, it was a, you know, misspelling here, a name misplaced there, a fact wrong here. Oh, well.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
That was the upshot of their investigation.
And so to me, the most important couple paragraphs was the quote from Cullen saying that he couldn't be, you know, listen, I was up all drinking all night, so that's why I made up these things on the radio. That came from the Fiedler and Carroll, right?
Kathleen Carroll, yeah.
Yes. So that came from that investigation. But the next paragraph goes into something that he wrote in the Boston Globe, which was that Martin Richards' dad did not run the marathon, and after explaining that he had hugged his son. And that
none of that happened.
That was written in the Boston Globe.
Yep.
And so that was buried after, way down in the story. And it was.
But also, remember, it wasn't written in the original edition of Collins' column. It wasn't in the first draft. It was updated 12:37 a.m., April 16th. He was at the Erie Pub or J.J. Foley's, one of them, and that's supposedly when he got that tidbit. That's when he got that story. He heard that story from, quote-unquote, from firefighters.
And so in the explanation of it in this piece on Friday, they said they blame the Globe editors as much as they blame Cullen. Now, like, we've been railing on the Globe and for a lot of reasons. But really? No, really, I'm not going to go down that road as much as maybe a Jerry Callahan will, because if this is your lead columnist, if this is the guy that you've trusted all these years, then you have to trust you have to trust that he's not making up someone who's not there.
This is from the report. Again, when I say the report, I'm generally referring to the thing that actually resembles a report, not the other thing that was two pages from the Globe that was OL. That's going to be the OL report. So from the actual report here, he, meaning Cullen, said he doesn't recall which editor handled the insert, although Metro editor Jennifer Peter told us in a separate interview that she took the call. She said that Mr. Cullen, quote, was quite insistent. This had to get in. I know this, she quoted Mr. Cullen as saying. I don't remember pushing back. He was really certain and excited that Bill Richard had run the marathon.
Okay, so if you're the editor and you've relied on this guy, this Pulitzer Prize winning guy, this guy who's been the marquee guy for you for so long, and he's insistent, if you're the editor, okay, you know, it doesn't seem like something that anybody would make up. Forget about someone of that stature, but anybody. So I get that. I understand that. But my point is that was buried in this report or this piece on Friday. That was buried so far down. And it was part of the investigation done by the Globe people. And it's, once again, there is no better way to explain it is the OL mentality. It permeates this entire thing. Oh, well, and the Globe is the one place in this whole world that we live in, Barstool, us, across the street, you know, a lot of blogs, everybody else, they understand that part of our existence is, oh, well, the Globe said, we would never, ever, ever do that. Well, just own it, because you just did it more than anybody did it.
The other big part of this investigation, the Carroll and Fiedler investigation, the writing is an eyewitness. And this is what triggered all of this, because it was the five-year anniversary, running blanket on my years here, but five-year anniversary column that Cullen wrote that started Minahan and Curtis looking into all of this, where I can smell Patriots Day 2013. I can taste it, all of it, representing that he was there through imagery. And this is where they kind of go halfway at taking him to task and say that this can be misleading, because he paints a picture as if he was there. He paints a picture as if he was there on Boylston Street at the moment that that terrible event happened. That is what he says. And it was alleged, this is what they write in the report, is alleged by radio personalities for WEEI that Mr. Cullen deliberately sought to mislead readers into thinking he was on Boylston Street. They go through the section, and Cullen says, the images that I referred to were iconic images. They were shown over and over again. I would have been aware of the initial scene of the scramble to get to victims, and all of our readers would have had that same experience. Mr. Cullen said he can't explain why he didn't attribute the images to what he and countless others saw on television, other than it never occurred to him that a reader would be misled into thinking he was an eyewitness. We find no evidence to support the allegation that Mr. Cullen intended to mislead readers with his choice of words. To the contrary, to our knowledge, he's never claimed to have been on the scene either in the hours or days after the bombing. He apparently wasn't there until a few days later, which is different than what he represented to Kirk, right? When they had that phone conversation, Kirk said that Cullen said he was there like a few hours later or something like that. The lesson would be a lesson to take away would be to weave in such narratives, a few words attributing the sources to the images, to television and other media. So they kind of take an OL approach to this. And he does mislead people into thinking he was there. He does seem to want to put himself there. And the issue that I have with it, and not to turn this thing into a 4-hour creative writing seminar, but you have the ability to use the images, attributing them as images to other people's words, because he did talk to, as many journalists did, how many hundreds of people who were there, who directly saw it, who were eyewitnesses. You can use their words to paint a very powerful narrative without putting yourself there, without it being misleading. You know, we do these things at the Herald. When I was there, we call them first persons. I've also heard them called as told to, where it's just their words. It's just the, and those can be very, very powerful. You don't have to do that necessarily that to that level. You can, you know, weave in the narrative and the way you want to tell the story without it just being a block of quotes that you're transcribing. But using that can paint a very powerful picture that's not misleading at all. And it seems like they just totally give him a pass for this. Well, yeah, we can see how it's misleading, but maybe this is also the OL investigation.
You said it out of the gate that they went halfway. They're going halfway. And all those points that you brought up are valid ones. The most obvious one of them going halfway was the punishment, right? I mean, 3 months.
Do you think he should have been fired?
Yes. Yes.
I don't see how you could ever
him again. And here's my thing. Okay. If you're going to do the Globe, if they're going to hang their hat on the Globe part of the investigation, where they said there's just a few transgressions and this and that and whatever, the most important part of this is when he went on the radio, and okay, he went on the radio and he said, made up some things, and it was because he was up all night drinking. Well, the way I look at it, once again, is the reason he's on the radio is that he's representing the biggest paper. He's the biggest name. He's the guy that is representing in the biggest moment in the Boston Marathon bombings. So I don't care if he's on the radio. I don't care if he's on the radio or somewhere else. He's basically putting words to paper in the Boston Globe with his words on the radio. That's me. I mean, you might disagree with it. Other people might disagree with it. But you, in that moment, that's how important his words are.
Do you think the people who disagree with it would disagree with it if he were on CNN saying those exact? It's still an interview. It's still an interview in a different medium.
I don't know.
So I'm saying that to agree with you. I mean, if you are representing your organization in some sort of a radio interview, it's not exactly the same as if you had written it down in the paper, but it's still a representation of you as part of that journalistic institution.
And also, we have to look at, yes, I agree, and also we have to look at the level of importance of the subject and the time, right? This like so when the great Bob Ryan got suspended for a month for the Jumana kid thing, right? He misspoke. He apologized. It was terrible. Whatever. But it wasn't – that isn't at the level of this. I mean, that's misspeaking on – I think it was on Sports Final on Channel 4. He was suspended for it. But in this case, this is in the heart of one of the most important moments in this city's history, and you are representing the outlet or the – organization that's supposed to be the voice of everything. So I don't know how you can say, well, it's no big deal. He was on the radio 3 month suspension and you're back, because you know as well as I do, Chris, it will be the oh well thing. It will be. He'll come back and you'll say, I can't read anything without a wary eye. Well, you know what? Oh well, because he's still going to get paid and he's still going to write.
What do you think his first story as a GA reporter is going to be?
I told you, Mr. Winfield Hawk.
My office.
I told you, Mathiel.
You think it's going to be sports?
Yes.
Put him there.
I think he will be the third sidebar writer on for the Saturday game against the Royals.
That I'm works. Very old yes. school.
617-779-7937. By the way, did you see one of the retweets that you got on your I Feel Strongly About This, So I Wrote It
what?
Piece talking about this entire topic? Was from Kim Donahue.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes.
Kim Donahue is the wife of Dick Donahue, who was shot during the firefight in Watertown a couple of days after the marathon bombing. Pretty much everybody knows that story. But Kim said, thank you. Those of us impacted on April 13th do not need added falsehoods to what was already an unimaginable week.
It makes me feel good.
There you go.
No, I did. It's, you know, and that's part of it, too. It's the Globe. What the Globe is doing and what Kevin Cullen was doing was awful. Was awful. And I'm not just saying it like, oh, well, he had a journalistic misstep. No, what he did was awful. And to lean on, to make things up at, as I said, the most important time, all you have to do is read that tweet from Kim Donahue to get a taste of what is going on, what it means to these people, and how important it is, how important that moment was. And to go on a radio station, and let's just use that example. There's others, but to go on the radio station and make things up and then say, oh, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I was up all night and I was drinking as an excuse. And the Globe saying, oh, you know what that's worth? That's worth 3 months and then coming back and keep doing the same thing. So you asked the question before, do I think he should be fired? I am absolutely not that guy who says fire this guy, fire that guy, because you always want to, you don't want people to lose their jobs. But in this case, I can only put myself in management shoes. And I think that you probably do the same. If you are the management of that company, what would you do in that situation? And I can say, well, you know what? As painful as this might be, this is going to be a fireable offense.
By the way, Texter's chiming in on the Mount Rushmore of Bruins defensemen. We got
not
Ray
the,
Bourque.
Not the 40-year-old athletes in Boston?
We're starting with Ray Bourque, and we'll go from there. 617-779-7937. It's Sunday morning, Father's Day. Villani and Bradford hanging out with you. Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, back to Bradford, Drellick, and Villani on Sports Radio WEEI.
Lonnie and Bradfo, Sports Radio WEEI, 617-779-7937. It should be pointed out, by the way, Drellick was at a wedding this weekend also.
You went to a wedding.
I'm here. Where the hell's Drellick?
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, we're comparing work ethics.
In fairness, I'm not here the next 2 weeks, so.
But you have a good excuse.
Yeah, I'm going to a wedding.
Yeah, whatever. You're not here the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, wedding next week, and then I'll be in Canada.
I want to thank you,
Flying
by
Porter
the way.
Airways, of course, to
the best.
Billy Bishop Airport. I look forward to partaking best. In the lounge.
Please. You're not using Cambrel!
Okay. I want to thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Multiple things. And they all happened within a half hour of each other.
This morning?
No, it was last Sunday. So I had the honor of, once again, emceeing the Cape Cod League Manager's Brunch.
How'd the Joe Kelly joke go over?
Joe Kelly joke didn't go so well.
Ah, it's a shame.
But I rebounded. I rebounded nicely. Always have the Jessica Biel reference in the back pocket. Had to break it out about 3 or 4 times.
Wait. What was the joke?
With it Jessica Biel or Joe
no,
Kelly?
No, the Joe Kelly
no,
joke.
No, it was more of like, so Joe Kelly, you know, the story that, I'll jump to it. Thank you for the media star.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so I got a media star for this Joe Kelly story that I wrote, where Joe Kelly talked about being Kevin Cullen-esque for poop-faced, right?
Yeah.
For
his 21st birthday.
For his 21st birthday, which fell on the draft, same day as the draft. And the Angels, his hometown team, which was 5 minutes from his house, called in the second round and said, how much would it take to sign you? And he was so obliterated that he just gave like $1 billion to him. They didn't draft him. He falls to the next round, and they drafted Patrick Corbin. And so he cost himself $109,000 signing bonus and the opportunity to play for his hometown team because he was celebrating his 21st birthday at his draft day party. But he went on the record with it, and I thought it was, you know, good for him for doing that and admitting it. And so anyway, but the point why I brought it up, the Cape Cod League manager brought
it. Oh, that was the joke?
No, it wasn't really a joke, but it was the Mrs.
It was an anecdote.
I was waiting for the punchline.
One of the house mothers, Joe Kelly's house mother at the Cape, Mrs. Z, congratulations, she's going into the Cape Cod League Hall of Fame. So knowing I was tying the whole thing together, and evidently, you know, when you bring inebriation into a manager's brunch, there's always that dicey part. But
yeah,
like I said, I mentioned Jessica Biel.
Especially in a summer league for kids that are under 21.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mentioned Jessica Biel, got things back on track. But I wanted to thank you because for the media star and for that, I was listening, driving back from this. But also for leaving and letting Evan have the last two segments by himself, because it was so awesome. It was so awesome. It was, and I could tell. And so Ryan, like, clearly, I don't know.
Ryan was mad at me for leaving.
I don't know if
I wasn't happy.
I don't know if you were planning on this, but it felt like you were trying to help Evan. Like, you were chiming in a lot.
Well, he would be like, well, what do you think about this? And I'd go, okay, blah, 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 blah. Expecting, like, we're going to have a conversation. And that didn't happen because he was obviously so nervous. He was just looking at the clock being like, when do I got to be at?
So
what's coming up next? I'm like, no, just listen to me. We'll be fine. No big deal. He did fine. But
I had to get boosted up
a
little
good.
Bit. It takes quite a while, actually, to get from the center field studio. You got to go all the way around to where the elevators are on the first base side. So, yeah, I had to go.
No,
get the hell out of there.
I thank you for going, just for that moment, for allowing me that moment.
I missed
of
the
levity.
Entertainment, though, because I was in transit, so I didn't catch any of that.
Well, Jen McCaffrey came down and saved the show, so we were all good.
Yeah,
there
you go. So, yeah, so the whole thing was so great. I did listen to a lot of the show. I look forward to carrying the show next week.
Music festival in London, Ontario,
isn't? I have confirmation that my dad is coming back from breakfast, and he appreciated the well wishes.
Did he have the book with him?
Are you kidding me? I did. So I did one of these. I was going to do one of these videos that we've been doing about explaining a story. So I did it in my basement. But I'm like, what is missing here? What is missing? And of course what's missing is anytime anybody does this, the pro move is to have the librarian back.
Right,
here.
Right in back.
So I propped up Chasing Steinbrenner and deep right back. I mean, like, is there any more self-important move than these people?
No, that was basically the Friday news dump of framing a video. How obvious can you possibly make it?
Just come on. Anyway, I digress.
I wrote about John Farrell's father once. He was a lobsterman.
Was that from last week?
Remember when Evan
was talking about John Farrell's dad, the lobsterman?
And the highest rated Mud at Night we've had in some time, that the Wednesday night Mud at Night where I did from Baltimore.
Yes.
And we had Evan on at 7:30. And I was asking questions. And I don't know if you noticed this, Ryan. Like, he tried to pivot to this.
Oh, you asked him. Because I heard this.
Would you sign Chris Sale to an extension? And like, well, let me ask you this. I was sitting in John Farrell in 2013 and asked him about being thrown out of games.
No, I thought it was Cora.
No, he got the
He's
Cora.
Like, can I tell you a story real quick? I'm like, okay. And then it just completely took a left turn into a cornfield.
And that was part of the highest rated Mud at Night of all time. But I once again, I'm going to say this for a second time. I digress. You, on this Kevin Cullen situation, you had another thing to get out there. Do you remember what it is?
Yeah, I do. There's no great way to transition from that to back into this. I'm talking about this marathon story. But one of the other things that I was curious to hear the explanation for, because this was the only thing that when Kirk and Callahan were talking about it, I was listening and thinking, oh, wait a minute, this might not be quite on the mark. So Cullen was talking about hearing Crystal Campbell's death wail. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was one. I forget which interview, but it was one of the interviews. There was a ton of audio and video and different things. I mean, you remember that was how they caught these guys. There was a ton of surveillance video down there, and they were able to find them. But there was a lot of stuff played in court. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
That, because I didn't know exactly when he gave that interview. Again, was he misleading, potentially representing that he was there when it happened? Yes, that's a whole separate part of it. But that was the one thing where I was like, I wanted to hear the explanation for that. Did he hear it in court? Did he hear it? That's nowhere to be found in either one of these.
That's a great point, because you would imagine that the Globe, you know, that's ammunition for the Globe, right? I mean, if that is the case where it was. That was played in court. He wasn't saying he's there. Then that's ammunition for them. And they don't have to say contrary to what was said. They can just say just to make this clear.
This is accurate, I mean, because
that's a paragraph. Whatever. I mean, that's a paragraph you can throw in there. Absolutely. And I don't know. It was just such butt covering the entire post on Friday, and just so tone deaf. Like we said before, so tone deaf to the obvious example of dropping it. I think it was 6:30 or 6:45 on Friday. It was
You were just about to go on the air, right?
Yeah, I mean we were reading through it, and it wasn't hard to pick through, even while you're trying to do an awesome, highly rated Mud at Night. I mean, it wasn't difficult. It was like, well, this isn't adding up. This isn't adding up. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that?
I would encourage people, and I always encourage people to do this, I would encourage people to not rely just on the secondhand reporting, whether it's the story in the Globe, but read the actual reports. It's not that long. The Globe one will take you 2 minutes. It's three pages. It's not exactly a heavy lift. The other one's 16 pages, but reading through those documents and seeing whether you buy the excuse, I think there's way too much of, we keep using that, it's kind of the phrase of the morning, that oh well mentality of, yeah, there were some things wrong here, but oh well. And that is, you know, that is frustrating. And look, I make mistakes, certainly. I was not perfect in my stories, The Herald, but I never set out to intentionally mislead anybody. And that's bothersome to me when that happens. Actually, my new job now, I know exactly how many mistakes I make, because and maybe more places should do this. They make you fill out a form if you make a mistake, if you have to put a correction, if it rises to the level of a correction. So not like a typo, you accidentally spelled a word wrong or a comma was in the wrong place, but something that is of substance. You have to fill out a correction form.
But how do you find that they were mistakes?
If somebody alerts you to it.
I know, but no, that's the thing. This goes back to the big picture here. No one was going to alert anybody to Kevin Cullen.
But if it's
do this.
But a lot of places, if it's an online source and somebody alerts you to a mistake, what do? They fix the mistake and that's it.
Right.
We got to fix the mistake, put a correction, like, hey, this story's been updated in this way. And then fill out a form with a laundry list of, you know, how did this happen? Why did it happen? How did it make you feel? How do you look at yourself in the mirror every morning? It's just this checklist of, yeah,
see,
they take it very, very seriously.
We just have parody Twitter accounts to do that for us.
Perfect.
I mean, but
maybe we got to get that going.
Wow, no, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. That's pretty good. So it's and for people, you know, maybe just tuning in or waking up or saying why. I know
people, I'm just waking up.
I know you are. Yeah. Or just getting, you know, the Gatorade in their system.
Yep.
It's well, why are we talking about this? Well, you know, number one, what are we going to talk? We're not going to talk the Red Sox game. It's been the most mundane Red Sox games of all time the last couple of days.
Stephen Wright, man. That guy's on a tear.
Great.
He pitched well last night again.
And we do have some topics along the baseball lines that we're going to get to later. But number one, this has to do with our organization, a huge part of our organization. So we're going to talk about it. Number two, this is journalism. There's a reason we have the media awards, because whether people like it or not, this is a big part of any conversation. It's why we talk about ESPN. It's why we talk about a lot of different media things. And this is a pretty important one. This one, you can say that it has to do with the Globe, it has to do with Kevin Cullen, those on sports. Well, okay, if you want to spin it that way, it has to do with the Boston Marathon bombings. We already saw that Kim Donahue, you know, an example of this, tweeting out this morning you know, that this is an example of what the Boston Marathon bombings meant to this city, and anything related to that, we should be talking about, and this is hugely related to it.
617-779-7937. 1 hour down. We got three to go. Villani and Bradford with you on a Sunday morning, Sports Radio WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!